Good afternoon. So good to be here. Now that I think about it, this is the best group ever, Bracken. Most important one, anyway, I've ever spoke to. Let's see. John 10, or if I wanted to say it southern, it's got two syllables, John 10. One of the things is, and this is not what I'm going to talk about, but just in praying through this scripture this morning, I just had to reevaluate my own life, because you should always do that, because you want to go as far as you can, right? And and the hireling, or we think of the hireling as somebody evil. The hireling was just a hired person. He didn't own the sheep. He was just somebody hired. It was a job. And so the hireling, the hired person, the hired man, he loved his life more than he did the sheep. But the good shepherd loves the sheep more than his own life. And really, and this is just for ministers, for those who, we're all ministers, for those whose vocation is like full-time ministry, is we have to be careful that we don't see it as a job. And it's so easy to do that, you know, when you get paid salary and all that, and that your life becomes more important, your job and your success, and you're looking good, and you're being popular, you're being approved of, is more important than the sheep, because the sheep are more important. That's what it says in Philippians 2. Anyway, that's just extra. So you can put another quarter in the plate when you leave, because there's more to that I'll talk about another time. I like this part, because again, Jesus incarnate as the Son of Man, everything he does, he's not just displaying, revealing the truth of Father. He's again also telling the truth about you and me, because he is a spirit-filled man, is living this way of life that is truth, that is true life. He's living this out of his humanity in absolute utter dependence on the Father by the Holy Spirit. And so we see again and again how this way of life that he lives, we go, oh, and he did that in his humanity. And therefore, we know that that's therefore part of the life that we live now in unity with him. Amen? So these scriptures kind of just grab me, really simple stuff. Verse 17 and 18. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now, does that mean that he didn't love him until he did that? Or didn't love him unless he did that? I mean, that's what it seems to say. But of course, Jesus had experienced, Jesus as the Son of God had known the Father's love for all of eternity. And you couldn't separate Christ's humanity from his deity, and you still can't. He's forever human in the Trinity. But so it's not like, well, he's talking about just his humanity. He didn't really love him. Now he does love him because he's doing the right thing. That's not saying that, but it is thing. It's one thing for me to watch one of my children, or now I would say my grandchildren, do something that I think is really neat and go, I just love it when you do that. It moves my heart. Doesn't mean I just started loving them. Doesn't mean I love them any less as, in terms of how I love them, but there's just something about that that I just love about that. It brings me great pleasure. In John 14, I think I marked that with one of these 100 ribbons that I have. John 14, verse 20. In that day, talking about Pentecost, you will know that I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. In other words, Jesus said, if you love me, then the Father will love you. What? God so loved the world, he already loves me. But he's talking about that same truth. He said, he who keeps my commandments is one who loves me, and the Father just loves that about me. You with me? It brings the Father pleasure. It moves his heart. He goes on and says, I think something really powerful. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, And my Father will love him. It says that again. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. Wow. Not just having a visitation from the God, but a habitation to where there's a continual manifestation in you, to you, of his presence, but also obviously therefore it reflects as a mirror to others. That's a powerful scripture. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him. I don't mean like come, like he wasn't there, but come to me. Like somebody comes to you in the night, in a dream, whatever, comes to you and make our abode with you. So again, John chapter 10. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Then he goes on, he says, no one has taken it away from me, his life, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority, the right, the word authority is the word right, and I have the right to take it up again. This commandment I received from the Father. Wow. So Jesus, now speaking as the incarnate Christ, said, the Father gave me a commandment, and the commandment was to come and lay down my life for the sheep, and that I would rise again. And he said, nobody's taken it from me. I made the choice to say yes. I have the right, the authority to do that. And because I did that, I made the choice. Wasn't forced to do anything. I made the choice to lay down my life. The Father loves that I did that. And we will make our abode. Now that's a good description of revival. Just the habitation of God, that God's made your humanity in a very profound way. And of course, it's true about all of us, but I'm talking about in a manifest way, him, you being the abode of the Trinity, being realized. Something happened in the last day or so. Not anybody in this room, I promise, in the name of Jesus. Something happened, and it just offended me. And I had a hard time sorting through it. And I remember knowing what I know, that Jesus doesn't get offended like that. And he doesn't walk around with offense. Because you know, when you get offended, guess what happens right after that? You get critical. You become negative. You began to not believe good things about people. And then you start recalling all the stuff, right? Especially if there's been a little bit of history of it. But if you've ever known the Lord, if you've ever known tangibly, incarnationally, experientially, the Trinity's abode abiding in you and on your life, I mean, you're the place, the dwelling place of God. If you've known that experientially, not just theologically, everything else is unbearable. Any other lifestyle is unbearable. And so this went on for about 24 hours or so. And I, this morning, Lord, I just had this breakthrough, because what I realized was that this was the enemy trying to kill, steal, and to destroy this chapter. Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. And the enemy is going to do everything he can to plant something to get you. And I just realized too, reading this, Lord, I have the authority to say yes to you. And I'm saying yes to you. That, because we're just going to love this person more and only think and say good things about them. And then I realized kind of where it started is somebody felt led, you know, Christians feel led, to tell you something that they said about a week or so ago. I thought, don't you wish Christians wouldn't feel led to do that? To tell you something that somebody said that they know that would upset you? Or not, they're not trying to upset you. They just want to inform you, you know. Kind of like an unholy prayer chain. And but you see, Jesus said he was given a commandment. And in his humanity, he had the authority to say yes. Nobody forced him to. He said yes. See, I'm in union with Christ, and therefore I can say yes from that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, including saying yes to him. I can do all things through Christ. All things. including saying, yes, I have the right, the authority, and I can bring that thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. And the obedience of Jesus is the way of life that he lives, and it's radically different than anything we've ever been used to. I just love that passage. And that brings such pleasure to the Father. I love it when I love it when he says, I just love you, friend. I just love that about you. See, that's why I make decisions to pray. I love it when you sacrifice time, and I don't love you more in a sense, but I just love it when you do that. It ravishes my heart. That's some stuff he used to talk about, right? When I choose to fast, because nobody made me. God's not saying, if you fast, I'll love you more in a sense. He said, but I just love it when you do stuff like that. I like that. It blesses me to go, wow, I want to do things. You know, Maud, my lab, loves to do things to hear me say to her, good girl, Maud, that is so awesome. That's part of the fun of it. That's part of a love relationship, right? Amen. Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.